Good morning, everyone. I told a few people earlier this morning that in my almost 40 years of preaching, I did something for a first time. I arrived at the church building in time to be part of the Bible class, and something was missing, and I couldn't remember. And then I realized I forgot my Bible, and I forgot my sermon notes. So I thought, should I go back? I said, no, it's a 15-minute drive. I'll be all right. And then this little voice in my head, which is quite true, happened to speak to me, which I know happens, and that is that when ministers, preachers, public speakers speak off the top of their heads extemporaneously, they talk for a really long time. So you'll be happy I went back and got my notes today. We're in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah himself is a servant of God. He had the incredible privilege of being in the throne room of God. Can you imagine? And he saw things that were beyond comprehension. But he heard the voice of God asking a question. Who will go for me? Whom shall I send? And it wasn't an archangel who responded. It wasn't some other prominent person. It was Isaiah who kind of probably looked around and said, I'll go. And he has this privilege of going and speaking about God, just as you and I have this amazing privilege of knowing God and sharing God to the best of our ability with people we come across. The word Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation, and Isaiah's speaking was really one-way directed. Even though there are 66 books in the Bible, there are 66 chapters in Isaiah. And the first 39 chapters, Isaiah is primarily convicting Israel of its sin. And then from chapters 40 to 66, Isaiah has this wonderful messianic preaching about the Savior who will come and about the salvation of all things, the redemption of all things. And it's an amazing scripture. It's an amazing read. And yet after saying all that, after saying that the first 39 chapters is really Isaiah convicting Israel of our sin, we don't read very long until you get to chapter 2 of Isaiah, where there's this vision of no more war on the earth any longer. Or then you get to chapter 7, again, where Isaiah is trying to convict Israel of its sin, and we hear these words. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called God who lives among us, Emmanuel. So Isaiah can't escape this messianic view, even as he's trying to convict Israel that they're going in a wrong direction. He can't help but talk about this suffering servant, the one who would come to make all things right, the one who will eventually deal with all of evil for all time, the one who will come and give us a message for today and for tomorrow and for all time. And yet, we get to chapter 9, and we hear these words every year at Christmas. So some 3,000 years ago, some 700 years after Isaiah speaks these words and the suffering servant comes, and you know these words. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then he goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that the zeal of the Lord Almighty has somehow concluded. That the zeal of the Lord Almighty is available for all of us. And that we too don't have to just wait until Christmas to talk to someone about this one who will come. And yet Isaiah is reaching toward, how can I describe this suffering servant who will come? And we'll look at that next Sunday. But it's all this prophetic voice of the one who will come. And because we're Christians, we believe in Jesus. We're here because of Jesus. And yet when Jesus came into the world, there were people who just said, it's got to be true. This one who was talked about, this one who comes from a virgin, this one who at a young age is being blessed by amazing people, this one who has come to live among us, this one who has done miracles among us, he's got to be the Savior. It has to be him. And once Jesus even asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And they responded, well, some people say you're Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the other prophets, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the suffering servant. You are the one that Isaiah talked about. You are the one that we've all been waiting for. It's true. And then Jesus said, that's right. I am the suffering servant, and here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to be treated horribly, and I will die. And they said, that can't be true. Even though Isaiah said, here's what's going to happen. And even though they were with Jesus day in and day out for 3 years, and they saw all kinds of things that you and I would never be able to see, but only through the writings do we get a few glimpses. Can you imagine the ongoing conversation of God who comes in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ talking with us every single day? And then Jesus says something that we're not so sure about, and so we dismiss him. Can you imagine? And yet there are times, I think, in our life where we maybe don't give to Jesus his honor and his due, who promise us, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. Trust me, because I trust you. So here you have these beautiful words, and yet people wrestled with it. And maybe you even remember what happened after the resurrection of Jesus, where he had to sit down again with his disciples and say this to them. Did not the Messiah, the suffering servant, have to suffer all these things and then enter into his glory? And then can you just imagine this conversation? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Isaiah as well, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. In all the scriptures concerning himself from all the prophets. That would be a lengthy conversation. If Jesus sat down with us and said, I'm going to start with Moses, I'm going to start with Genesis, and I'm going to go all the way through the prophets, and I'm going to show you where all the prophets talked about me. That's going to be a long sermon that day. A lengthy conversation about Jesus being everywhere. Ages past, before the beginning of creation, to the present day situation, to this forward look that we will see as the weeks go by. But after saying all that, someone might say, well, okay, I get all of that, but I'm really in need of comfort. I'm not in need of apologetics, meaning you don't have to teach me or try to convince me that Jesus lived. But somehow, even though I trust in Jesus, I need comfort. Well, let's go on this really brief, quick trip this morning. The suffering servant, he's also comfort for God's people. Chapter 41 through 5. Comfort. Comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Sometimes we just need someone to talk tenderly to us. And proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all the sins. a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God's people. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And then these words, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see that glory together. Can you imagine the day when God says, new heavens and new earth and new beginnings for all creation begins now? Have you ever stopped to even imagine? And then, not only is he a comfort for us, but he's just a helper for us in every way. Isaiah chapter 41, the latter part of verse 9, he says this, "You are my servant." Now, sometimes in Isaiah, when he calls, uses the word servant, he is talking about the Messiah who would come, but sometimes he's talking about David, or sometimes he's talking about one of the other people. Sometimes he's just talking about the nation of Israel itself. I chose you to be my helper, and I will help you. We're going to do this together. I said, "You are my servant." And I wonder if you and I can hear those words as God speaks to us. You are my servant. And aren't we? We serve God lovingly, tenderly, as God is a comfort to us, as Jesus speaks tenderly to us, as the Holy Spirit indwells us with the very presence of the suffering servant. Do we not help them by being people of like mind? That we're helpers, that we're servants. I've chosen you, I have not rejected you. So don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I'm going to uphold you with my righteous hand. And then verse 13 says this, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not be afraid, I will help you." Just as for those of us who've been parents or grandparents and babies are just beginning to walk, and every once in a while they'll grab hold of your leg, and every once in a while they don't have to grab hold of our leg because we'll reach down and take them by the hand and we'll help them. And all throughout life, can we feel God's hand helping us to walk the Christian life? Because sometimes we stumble and we fall and we can't get up. But he comes along and he says, "Give me your hand. I'll walk with you. I'm helping you when you don't even know that I'm helping you. I stand with you. You are never alone. I am always with you." The scripture that is given more often than any other scripture in all of the Bible is, and I know many of you know it, "Don't be afraid." And if God is with us every moment of the day, then we trust him and are not afraid. And then we talk about the servant in chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands, the lands will be putting in their hope." And then lastly, in chapter 43 and verse 1, by the way, if my translation sounds a little different than yours, I'm using the newer TNIV. And then this last scripture I want to share in 43 and verse 1 is the fact that not only is God a comfort to us, and not only is Jesus a helper to us, and not only is the Holy Spirit a servant to us, but he is, and always will be, a faithful Savior. He's not a savior 50% of the time or 75% of the time. He is a savior 100% of the time, of all time. And now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, Israel, he who formed you, Israel, do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You know, God knows you. He knows your name. He knew each one of us before we were born. We're not just circumstance. We're not just chance of DNA. That God knew us even before we were created, and he's never not been with us. He's with us every step of the way, and he is our comfort. He is our helper. He is our strength. He is an ever-present help, especially in our time of need. A man some 700 years before Jesus comes in the physical form had these thoughts and had this vision of God. And now on the other side of the life of Jesus, we have the privilege of realizing exactly who Jesus is for us. The great thing about God, of course, is that he's always inviting us to himself. Whether you've never considered that Jesus was anything other than some figment of someone's imagination, there are others of us who can say, oh, no. We know him well. We hear him as he speaks to us. He lives in our heart. It's always a call of God to you. And if you'd like to know more about him, we ask you to just keep coming and we'll keep sharing what we know and allow Jesus to speak. And if you want further information, we'll be able to speak with you as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we have these hymns and songs and praises that we've shared, that we've offered them to you. We hope that we haven't just offered them to you without our heart. But as we love the people we love you. And we want to give you our very best. We thank you that you've brought us together as your people to share in this place. And thank you for this wonderful book of Isaiah. And as the weeks go by, may we continue to see you clearer and to get a vision of who you are for us. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.